Intertextual Cardboard Experience.
Hello and welcome to Intertextual Cardboard Experience, where we made it to a quarter of a century with our trendy 25th guest, Patrick Leader. How are you doing today?
No one can see, but I'm pumping my fist at the 25. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. A little gravelly sounding, but I'm good. Very excited for this chat.
Is it allergies, late season allergies, or just having a cold? Or
I think I've got a bit of a bug right now.
Okay.
I thought it was allergies, and then it wasn't.
All right.
But
is that Final Girl behind your head?
Oh, I do have Final Girl this side. Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I still recognize that side. All right.
Yeah, I've got
again, really good for audio recording to talk about something that's present in the photo.
Oh, but I think the fact that my room is a nightmare has made it into like the episodes at least a few times. Like, what you got behind you? Like one of my 5 random spots of games. But yeah, like I said, maybe one day I'll just take a picture of the mess and people will be like, okay, we get it now. But that's fantastic. So I kind of have a setup where I'm just going to ask a couple of introductory questions. And then after that, I've kind of got a gimmick. I don't think it's turbo gimmicky, but we'll get there when we do. And then it's going to like knock out the grand majority of the questions. Some will be really quick. Some you can expand upon, but it will all go with my cleverly title for this episode, which is At the Forefront of Asymmetry, with four being F-O-U-R,
okay,
in conjunction with 4-letter titles. So
excellent. I'm into this.
Okay. But I'm kind of switching up. I took a little bit of a pause, and the first question that I'm going to ask you is what game or gaming memory made you fall in love with board games?
Oh, so what the audience doesn't know is I'm very old. I also apparently I have a cold now.
I transmitted it via Zoom.
We should probably talk to the Zoom people about that. I have a couple. Let me think about this here. So when I was a kid, I would take Life and Clue and Risk, which are the games we had, and I would, or my toys, like, and I would modify them a lot. Like, I would when we played Life, the spaces on Life had all these, like, you know, be like, you bought someone's art collection, spent $80,000 or something like that. So then I would be like, what's an art collection do for you in this world, and how is that gonna change how you play? And so then I try and figure that stuff out. Or like, if you had an art collection, maybe you'd be immune to a certain event later or something like that. So, or like, I mean, the point of the game was to like retire with a bunch of assets anyway, so why didn't that count for your assets, the art? Maybe I guess it was all those spaces represented bad investments, but now I know. So I do that. Clue, I didn't alter too much. I remember my brother and I came up with a version of Clue where one of you was the murderer, and then you had to like get away with the murder once you would like, you know, which now is actually, I think, the new Clue. What's that thing called? Clue Conspiracy?
Huh.
I have it right over there. It's a part. It's more like a party game, like not a party game, but it's more like Werewolf or Blood on the Clock Tower, but like some of you are in a conspiracy to commit the murder, and so you have to figure out how to commit it and get away with it. So I do that, or I had like my little Lego toys, which I didn't have Legos because of how I grew up, but but you know, like the little building block, the like dime store building blocks I had, I would like, you know, well, these are tanks, and I'd put them out on the field and play that. These are planes, and these, you know, and I'd have a little board game going on. So, yeah, I think those are like some of my best gaming moments. If unfortunately, it was 44 years ago when I was five or 6 years old playing games by myself. But for like modern board gaming, for me, it was there was two events. There was a couple of events that happened. I bought, or I, when I was growing up, a friend had a copy of Survive, which is the game about the island that's slowly sinking. That's been reprinted a few times, and that was kind of my first exposure to Euro design because the game has a narrative arc to it that the island's sinking. The island doesn't come back up. It doesn't re-get rebuilt. You know, like Monopoly, if I land on your property and you take $400 from me, and then I land on yours and you take $400, you know, like we'll just exchange those $400 and we're back to where we were. But in Survive, the island sinks, it never comes back. And so that was my first like exposure to like this idea that like game, the state of the game would only move forward and never go backwards to where it was. So that's where I had a touch with that. And then as far as like really getting into games, a friend of mine in college went to Austria over like for a study abroad thing and came back with a copy of Settlers of Catan in German. And so we learned how to play Settlers of Catan in German. You know, of course we translate everything with pay stubs and stuff like that. But and then Settlers of Catan came out here 6 months later. But so we were playing it pretty early and we would get like 8, 12 people together at a time. And one of my friends had graduated, bought a house, and so we'd play in their basement. And so we'd be playing, you know, obviously multiple games of Settlers of Catan across the basement. And then we'd have a little like, we could do them so fast that we'd have a little bit like, you know, okay, all the winners go down to this end of the room and play, and all the losers go to this end of the room and play. And so we'd have kind of have a little bit of a playoff in our basement. So yeah, this is some of my, so those are some of my memories. How's that?
That's perfect. And I mean, with one of the words of the episode being forefront, like you basically made Clue Conspiracy before it existed, and you had German Catan, so look at you. You're
Look at me out
Polish.
at the front there. Yeah, I
Oh,
role
gosh.
played a lot, and I played a lot of miniature wargaming growing up. Like I role played a lot in high school because that was a better option back then. Yeah, play D&D, and there was, yeah, although like, you know, kind of the golden age of, I think, of RPGs. I mean, they were going through a pretty good era right now too, but you know, you had like Torg and Shadowrun and BattleTech and D&D, and it's just a lot of like Cyberpunk 2020 got released back then. It was a lot of stuff you still see now. So
Oh, that's fantastic. So that's like a good transition as well, because a few kind of like influential moments for you. When was it that you decided that you wanted to kind of take that passion and turn it into like both design and publishing?
right. So for me, a couple things happened. Sorry if you're, I've been doing a lot of podcasts lately, so sorry if you've heard this story than last week. Where I'm gonna start with this to go to passion. So I back in the late 90s, I had a friend who graduated high school a little bit early and decided not to go to college right away. And so he spent a lot of time on IRC and other chat relays talking and just doing RPG design. And he ran an RPG campaign online for these people. And he had always been kind of interested in game design. We had a copy of The Search for the Emperor's Treasure, which was a board game that was inside a Dragon magazine and like the early 90s. And I'd gotten like the Best of Dragon board games. So there were six board games inside of this one box set, and A Search for the Emperor's Treasure was probably the best moment of that set. And but there was rules for like inside of it, there was rules for like taking the map apart and like building your own maps with it. And so he got kind of interested in game design from doing that. And then post all this RPG stuff and post working on that sort of stuff, and also like kind of bashing my copy of Cosmic Encounter into other, like he made his own powers. And so one time I had been working as a programmer post college, and I had done some RPG, like I put out feelers to try and do some design work, not knowing the right strategy to get into RPG design, which was just to write. Like you know, if anyone's listening and they want to get into any of these fields, just do it. And so he came to visit me. I was working in Denver for a year, and he came to visit me for like a staycation at my house. And we at the beginning of the week, we went to a game store and he bought a bunch of blank tokens, and he worked on this game, and I just helped him like write stuff or draw stuff or whatever. And then we played the game at the end of the week, and I was like, God, like he just spent a week doing this, and this is great. And I still love that game. And so I was like, I can do this. And so I started designing after that, and writing. I was doing a lot of writing back then too. And so yeah, I just kind of kept that going. And eventually, 11 years later, got a game published through Binion Games in Wisconsin. And again, just by sending out a lot of sell sheets and a lot of proposals to people, and eventually finding a publisher to work on it. And I spent some time with him learning how to print the game, how to like market the game and talk about those things. And so then I was like, I watched him doing it, and I wasn't making any money off of what he was doing because the game wasn't selling particularly well. And I was just like, I'm doing this all wrong. I need to take ownership of every part of this process so I can do it the way that I want to do it, and so that if it does make money, I benefit from it, because that's what's going to keep me motivated to make the best thing I can, is to be involved with the money, even if the money isn't great. And so that was yeah. So about then, Kickstarter was starting to take off. And I did a little Kickstarter for a game called Trick or Treat, which most people don't know about, and that took off and did okay. And then from there, I learned the whole process. I learned how to market the game to Kickstarter people. I learned how to get that Kickstarter going. I learned how to sell the game afterwards. And I learned really how to produce a game, like how to talk to the publisher or the printers, and how to get the printers done, working, doing your thing. And that's why I learned that. And then after that, VAST came into my life, and then that was my chance to, like, Trick or Treat was like a small lab I could work on and learn the whole process, because it was so, I only sold a couple hundred through the Kickstarter. I can't imagine it was that many. But then after that, like, I could take all those lessons I learned and then move them up to the next scale, So like, we printed 1,000 Trick or Treats. It took me forever to sell those, and then the first print run of Fast was 5,000, and it was sold out, basically the first weekend. Like that first Gen Con, we sold them all out, and so I ordered more for the second printing as soon as I got home, and as soon as the second printing arrived, I literally was on the phone that day saying we need a third print. So it was a different scale, but I was able to learn it all inside that Trick or Treat lab. So yeah, I think that was like where the enthusiasm to publish came from, is like, I realized that I needed to have full ownership of the processes to do them the way I wanted to, that I was too particular about what I wanted. And I think that is, as much as I like game designing, I think that's my real, that is the thing I'm contributing to the game industry, is running this publisher and running ethically, and running it like in a way consistent with that value, that if everyone is making money off the process, then we're all motivated to make the best product we can. So that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's really neat. And one of the questions we'll actually kind of get towards, like, your thought of leader games and just like, things that you feel make your company different. But I guess kind of thinking about like design and development and that early transition. I mean, you mentioned Trick or Treat, which I just kind of clicked around on the BGG page going through all of your stuff. But you also like kind of, well, not coincidentally, you mentioned Cosmic, and I'm not like super familiar with Cosmic Encounter. I mean, I know it. I just have I've never played it. But for you and like your design and where like eventually like Leader Games went with Fast and now is in basically all the games in some capacity. Where did like that asymmetry come in? Was that something that you had always been like thinking about or tinkering with, or was that something that didn't really come until later?
Yeah, so I mean, asymmetry really came from David Somerville working on VAST, because he was the original designer of VAST, and then I took it over and did a lot of redesign and development for it. And But I've always been interested in it, and I'm trying to think of the earliest examples of asymmetry, because Cosmic Encounter is still variable player power, because in Cosmic you have a very simple rule set, and all the player abilities are driving exceptions to those rules, and so there's still it's heading towards asymmetry, but I'd still say it's variable player power. I'm trying to think of the games that have interested me that have been asymmetric. So Netrunner, of course, had a release back in 2000 when it was a collectible card game. And I think that really got me going on asymmetry and any of the like hunting games like Fury of Dracula, like where it's the hunters versus the prey. And of course Fury of Dracula has the great like it's daytime, so now you're the hunters, it's nighttime, now so you're the hunter, going back and forth. So I think I've always been very interested in it, and I've also been very always been very interested in creating variability within the scenario by redesigning parts of the game. So like you look at like I love chess variants. I like different pieces for chess. Back then I liked like to, and then just the like real gameplay variants like the Looking Glass is the one chess variant I always think of where it's two boards and the pieces slide back and forth between two boards. And so like yeah, so there's always been interest in it, but then it was when David Somerville exposed the entire like asymmetry had always been kind of two player before then, and then he took the like at the best way an outsider can because he hadn't designed anything before, but he took the whole story of somebody going into a dungeon and trying to kill the dragon and dividing up the elements between the players so that they all control one aspect of the story, but are competing to win with that part of the story. And I think he really nailed it. I think that was really core to how I wanted to work from then on. So, but we've also kind of backed away from the asymmetric approach because Root, like, I generated the concept of working on Root, and that was like, I was like, well, let's make a war game in this space, not realizing that coin existed before then. And I was like, so let's kind of do the vast playbook, but let's try exploring kind of a war space. So what are the roles in a war? There's this empire and there's these, there's people coming from the outside to reconquer or reclaim, and then there's this kind of rebellion inside of it. And so then that got worked into Root. But really our mission now is to make the games so that that narrative, and I think this is true for Vast all the way to Arcs, is that the narrative emerges from the gameplay. So we don't do a lot of prescriptive, like you don't pick up a card and read, the king, King Ferdinand gets assassinated, blah blah blah. These things happen to the game. There is an assassination in the game that one of the players co would have caused, and then that's where the story beats kind of come off of. So, if you look at like. You look at Vast and the way that the goblins interact with the dragon interacts with the knight. There's an emergent story there, and then that goes to arcs as you move your ships around and build your cities and like who you're friends with and what the guilds you get and things like that tell a story that the or I'll give the players the elements that they can tell a story with it. And of course, in arcs, there is still asymmetry because you start out similar, but then as the As you play the campaign, the blade of each campaign, the then the players drift apart in an asymmetric fashion. So.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, and that's kind of what I heard because I, well, speaking of my messy room, I have arcs on the ground right next to me at the regular box, and then I do have Bladed Reach over on my table too, which I have not been able to crack into yet. But yeah, that's kind of what I heard is like the way that the asymmetry happens is like the way it develops throughout the course of the campaign as opposed to like from the onset.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's really neat. Okay, so that's kind of like the intro stuff,
Right.
and now we're
Okay.
going to get to
The lightning round.
later. So there are different things, different, well, there are like four categories and there are four things that go with each. One of them up here will probably be the shortest in terms of like the initial answer, but you don't have to like s stop there once you answer it. I would take like a further explanation, but I'll explain as I go, or else I'm going to overload your brain. You'd be like, this guy's crazy.
Okay.
But
Deal.
okay, so this first section is kind of like thinking about like words or attributes. So what are four words that you would use to describe the vision of leader games in general?
Oh boy. Four words.
Like an interview.
This is like an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me think this through here. I'm gonna say I'm gonna say is state of the art one word? No.
I don't know, I'll allow it.
I'll allow it. So
Mm-hmm.
it's two of them, and because we always talk about this when we talk about when Cole and I talk about when really get into like what projects we're working on, and we talk about a lot about how we and I think every company has this in their mission, so whatever. But we do talk a lot about how we want to be at the front of the conversation. Like, so we'll do front as the like is what we're. Was the word because I'm trying we're always trying really hard to be I think since Fast every game has innovated the this how things are done a little bit or been at some interesting new territory and that's always been our goal to never like we just made this game that was it's a synthesis of these other games and here we are but yet at the same time we still like think about so I'll say classic I still do pay a lot of attention to all the time I've spent gaming like I think like I played Games Workshop used to have that game called Dungeon Quest and it's impossible and your character dies you're trying to sneak into a dragon's lair and get back out with some money and or Warhammer Quest even I think about those games I've been working on a dungeon crawler in the past 3 years and I like even though there are modern dungeon crawlers like Descent and Massive Darkness and Zombicide is frankly a dungeon crawler, I still think a lot about like what did those games in the past teach me and why did I value playing them? How did I like why am I still doing this and still thinking about those games and thinking about a skeleton in the corner of the room? You know, like what is that st what is important about those games to me? So those two are the like to me it's the front and being classic like to understand the balance of the two and about how to like connect with the audience from the past but still be able to like drive the conversation for us. So that's those are my two. Let me open up the mission statement. I have this mission statement written down. We can get this.
We can mine that for a couple more
We
words.
can mine that, yeah, we yeah, for at least an hour of conversation. So yeah, I think that's it. I and then I think like to me, I it's a it's you know I, and the mission statement those are both under artistic. And then so then it's the I mean it's like just fun. Like I think like it is and I think it is easy for us to get lost in that, like because if you look at the coin series, that's about history, and there is a fun to be had there. And if you know the you, and you like, we can get really intellectual about what we're doing, and we and obviously, games are artistic expression, despite what certain movie reviewers have said. But because they explain, they do connect you to some part of the human condition. For me, that is, you know, art for me is either you're connecting it to some part of the human condition, or you're, you know, like what is it like to be a Patrick Leader? Or what is it like to be Patrick Leader imagining himself as a cat ruler of a forest? But also, like if it's just to me, if it gets to the truth of the world, or if it's beautiful, which is they're kind of synonymous to me, then I think those are both those are important. But at the end of the day, like I can make a movie about the truth of the world and I can make a board game about that, but also people want to play board games to have fun. So I gotta get, you know, I gotta pay some respect to that. And then for like for mission, unfortunately viability is the boring word. I have to make sure that the company is run in a safe and profitable way. And I know that's really boring to like, It's like it's the responsible answer, right? It's like blah blah blah. Yeah, we gotta make money. But I mean, I have 16 employees and myself, so 17 people working here, and I can't just keep following flights of fancy around. I have to be mindful of how we're making money and how we're going to keep cash flow going. And there's always going to be a lot more money coming in, but is it coming in at the right time is kind of what I always have to keep an eye on. And to me, those aren't exclusive. I think the art and the fun and if it's classic and that being at the forefront, those are how we connect with our market. So to be viable, I can't make a conservative decision. I still have to conservative fiscally. I still have to respect those things because that's what our audience has come to expect. I cannot sell out my audience, so I still have to respect those things. And so that's how I maintain a state of viability. But it's a good lens to look at our decisions through and go, is this servicing the brand in a way that's going to make sure that we're sustainable down the road? I could sell a Root box set tomorrow with six factions in it, but if they're not good, that's going to be the last time we get to do that play. So I don't do that. And I hope the audience appreciates that. That was supposed to be the lightning round answer. That was probably the longest answer. So sorry
I don't
about
know.
that.
I think it was perfect though. I mean,
Okay, good.
whether it's from like brain fog or not, I'm speechless. That makes like 100% sense to me. With
Good enough.
not being somebody that or like an owner, founder of a company, and having like 16 employees underneath me, like I that makes 100% sense to me.
All right, that's
And
good.
I do like the way that, you did, tie them together. I mean, you said it was kind of like the viability was the boring part at the end, but in which ways can those like four words and other parts of your mission statement all like coalesce to make, Leader Games
Yeah.
as viable and, future like looking as possible. So,
Yeah. All right.
all
Well, on
right.
to the next one.
Okay, so that's round one of four. This one, I'm going to. All right, this is probably like the most gimmicky of the four, but I'm going to have you like rename things to have titles comprised of four letters.
Okay.
All right, so you have to, first one, you have to rename Leader Games to a four letter company. It could just be like the first word. It doesn't have to be like games. You could keep games at the end.
Well, that's too bad because I was going to go with game.
Game.
Game games, everybody. What are we? Four letters. I've thought about this. I have thought about this. I swear to you. What was my? So we just dropped the R and call it LED games. I like the ooh, lead games. Let's do lead games. There we go. We'll do lead games.
You know,
LEAD games. Done.
I was honestly thinking that. So,
All right.
or when I usually don't have good answers for my questions, but I'm glad we're on the same
We're
page
on
for
the
that
same
one.
wavelength there, yeah.
Okay. You did mention that you like writing. I enjoy writing as well. One thing that I would presumably never write is an autobiography. But if you had to write an autobiography for yourself, what would the type of four letters? What would
The
it be
four-letter
called?
title. Oh, this is like the this is my like my comeuppance. I have to do it all with four letters. Four letters. This is funny. I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna call it Work and Rest. How's that?
I like
All right.
it.
That's my autobiography. It's Work and Rest.
That's perfect. Okay, so I'd say the first two options or the first two questions actually make some sense, but this third one was kind of like spawned from me seeing that you did a designer chat while doing a power washing simulator.
Yeah, like last week,
Yeah.
that was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
I just for people listening, I'm gonna explain it. So last week we did let me get the person's name on here. SP Shaman, my friend SP Shaman, and Maddie Schrader, who's a designer, I barely knew. I just went out and looked for guests, but it was great, lovely. We all got together on Steam and played Power Wash Simulator together. So we John Gilmore and I used to play a lot of Raft, like about a year ago. We were playing Raft like 3 or 4 times a week, in the evening. Maybe not that much, but quite a bit. Raft is a survival game on Steam, and so we would talk about game design because he's a you know he designed like Dinosaur Island and did a winner and a few others. And so we talk about design a lot, obviously, and we're while we're playing the game, and we were like, what if we did this as a show where someone that doesn't know anything about Raft, another designer who may or may not know anything about Raft, comes on, and like we have plenty of food on our boat, so like if all they do is stand there and we feed them and give them water, keep them alive, that's okay. In fact, we probably needed that because we needed that third or fourth mouth to feed to keep the challenge up. And so then we would have someone on to talk about their design problems with them while we're like trying to survive, not dying on this raft. And maybe we'd start a new raft so to make it each episode to make that a little bit of a challenge. But I decided it was just too much brain power that there'd be too many interruptions of like, you didn't put the cup back on the water still, or you know, or you didn't put wood in the burner or whatever like that, so they'd be constant. But Power Washer Simulator, so we decided to do an episode of Power Washer Simulator and see how it goes, because Power Washer Simulator, there's no fail state. You can't starve to death while you're power washing, and like you can't, like you know, you just get as much time as you want. So eventually, you're going to power wash the thing, and then we just move on to the next level. So we did that, and it was a lot of fun. And I got a little like, I think we did like 4 levels, and by the end of the fourth, I was like, okay, I'm a little bit done spraying. But anyway, what was your question about Power Washer Simulator?
Oh, there was not a question yet. That was just like
Okay.
that was like the intros to like the genesis, like how I came up with
Okay,
this
I'm
one.
ready.
So what is a four letter object that you don't think has a sim version of, but you would want one of?
A sim game. It's funny because during the episode we talked about I the friend of mine who worked on the I was talking about earlier, who was working on the board game before I was, he has some very Marxist reviews of games, and so he I don't necessarily think he's even a Marxist. I think that's just the point of view he takes when he's reviewing, and so he really hates the blue collar video games because it's like it's kind of objectifying the act of, you know, like we need someone to wash buildings, like that we need power washer simulators in the real world. So why wouldn't you just go do that if you're interested? Or why wouldn't you drive a truck? I mean, there are some people who have set up their basements to look like truck simulator, and I was like, why wouldn't you just go do that at that point? And I like, to the game industry's credit, it is because you are taking the funnest and most rewarding part of power washing, which is the actual just washing and taking out all the setup, all the cleanup. You can't damage anything. You know, it is the perfect environment just to enjoy the completion of having water. It's like coloring a coloring page. It's just filling in the lines and being satisfied that you can, if in a world that a lot of white collar work doesn't let you finish whatever you're doing, I understand the appeal of it because it allows you to just say, yes, that is clean, it is complete, I can now move on to the next level. Anyway, so what thing would I, what action, 4-letter action would I want to turn into a simulator game? Oh my gosh. All right, I think I'm just going to pull up a list of 4-letter words on Google here. 4-letter words. Come on, Google. Give me that sweet, sweet pep. Oh no. Oh, let's do. Oh, that's good. I like this. Let's do cafe. You're running a cafe. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah,
Baby
that's
came up also. I don't want a video game about raising a baby.
it.
Anybody listening today? Bad topic for a video game. So, when I had a kid, a lot of people did come up to me like, "Why do you make a board game about parenting?" And I was like, "'Cause the objectives are, the outcomes are way too random." So,
I don't know if I would be like particularly interested in playing a game about raising a baby.
that'd be pretty rough. There is that game called is it really called Who's Your Daddy? That's not right, is it? Yeah, Who's Your
Don't.
Daddy? It's a two player, it's on Steam, it's two player, and one player is a dad and the other player is a baby, and the baby is trying to die is the nicest way I can describe it. So you're just crawling around this house, and the dad's like trying to baby proof the house while keeping the baby alive, and then you win when either player gets to a state where they cannot advance out of that state anymore. So there is a game about raising a baby, but that's a little bit grim, more grim than most child rearing.
Oh, that's funny. Hey, 9 out of 10 Steam rating on like 23,500 reviews, so.
Yeah, no, they can't be wrong. I think my oldest child has it because they have a fascination with, they're at that age where they have this morbid fascination about things like that. So I think they haven't have played it, but maybe they just watch a bunch of videos about it.
Well, even though it's not your answer, baby, simulator kind of exists in a
It's
different
like kind of,
sense.
I'm sure there's a cafe game too,
Yeah,
but
well,
that's all right.
nonetheless. Well,
Nonetheless.
it sounds very pleasant though,
Yeah.
like you said. And then you can take away any of like the stressful stuff, but
Yeah.
potentially just
Just serving coffee and talking.
perfect. Okay, so we're on to your last title.
Okay.
Same deal. It's got to be four letters.
Okay.
But you are going to create music. You're going to make an album. So you have to first say like what type of music your album would be. Like if you're gonna, and then what's the album called?
I'm gonna make a progressive heavy metal album, and I'm gonna call it Mars because God of War. I'm sure there is one. Yeah,
I mean,
but that's all right.
all right, yeah,
It's my
works.
album.
Yeah, it's your album. And speaking of, I think there's like new God of War coming out soon.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah. I might, so it's funny because I'm actually working on a board game called Opus right now, which is, of course, your highest musical achievement or whatever, or highest artistic achievement. So, and I don't think the game is my highest artistic achievement. It is more a statement about what's going on in the game. But yeah, so maybe Opus would have also been an acceptable answer, but I'm going to save it for the
Yeah,
game.
that's cool. And yeah, Opus is a good title in general.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah. Until someone else does it in a few months. All right,
Well, I'll wait for yours, all right?
that sounds good. That
I'm
sounds good.
sure most people will. Oh, very cool. Okay, so this one, let's see how it goes. This is like the
Okay.
third category of things, and it's kind of like going to be diving into other mediums.
Okay.
But what I want you to do is I have like a few cat well four categories, and I want you to think of like a text within that medium that you feel in some way matches like the vibes or ethos, or could even just be art. Like, I don't really care. Like, however you come up with the answers, whatever connection you have between them and connecting them to like leader games. Like, this feels leader, but for example, the first one is like a movie.
So a movie with a four-letter title.
Oh, sorry. No, you don't have to come up with one that has a four-letter title, but like what's like a movie? I would get like way too specific. That'd be impossible. No, what's a
Heat.
movie that exists that you feel like feels like leader in some capacity?
Oh, interesting. It's funny because I really like horror movies, and we haven't done anything. I think horror is really hard to do in board games. You have Final Girl there, which I think is kind of pulls it off, because it uses isolation, it being a solo game, to express horror to you. All right, gotta think about a movie I identify with here. Oh boy. You're gonna edit out me sitting here for a minute,
Hey, you could, I mean, you could sit here as long as you need.
You're gonna edit this part. No, I'm just teasing. Let's go with wow. This is really interesting. The problem with movies for me now is when we were kids, maybe you're not old enough, but when we were kids, they would come on cable TV and you'd watch, like by the time, like I'd watched like Eddie Murphy's Trading Places like 10 times by the time I was 18, because it was on Fox, in the movie slot before they had shows. And so, but now I think of like movies that come out, like movies now, I watch them once and then I never like come back to like re-examine them as much as I used to. So that's an interesting problem. Let's move on. We'll come back to
Okay,
that
so
one.
we're putting movie on pause. Let's go to video game.
Okay. A video game that is most like the leader games experience.
Or just have some connection that sticks out to you. I guess like the most is slightly daunting.
Oh, yeah, that's a little daunting. So for me, the really formative game is I'm looking at my Steam library right now, which is probably not helpful. Okay, so I honestly, like I think other people are gonna throw sticks at me for saying this, but I think to me, the games I can connect with most are GTA 3 and Bully. And I know like they're like violent and horrible, and I don't like them for that. I think they're ironic. Like I don't think they're actually trying to be like, I think the violence is being celebrated. The violence is it's kind of an ironic tool in the storytelling. But what I do like about them is the moments in both of those games where the mayhem kind of rises up and becomes like its own element. It's a like the open world. You can like really sail into the open world and use the open world well. And the missions that really encourage the use of the open world in GTA 3, I think are the best parts of the game. And that's what I'm always trying to like. When I'm designing, I'm always thinking about how do I make it so that the player can kind of sail off into their own strategy without exploiting the game, which with a board game is the challenge, right? So, but that sort of open worldness, like Fable, you look at like Fable has that like those great moments where it's like, even the designer talked about how surprised he was when someone figured out how to exploit the NPCs in one of the towns by luring them into the woods and getting them drunk and then running back to their houses and robbing their houses while they were stumbling back to their houses. And I was like, that is exploitive, but it's also a funny story moment because you could see someone actually doing like a robber, like a con man, kind of like, oh yeah, let's go out and look at the thing out in the woods and then be like, oh. Ah, I stole your stuff. So, and I don't want you to steal everyone's stuff en route, but those moments can rise up. So. There we go. All right.
I like that. And yeah, I guess kind of coincidentally, like a video game genre that I wasn't like super familiar with, but I've been watching a lot of the H Bomber Guy video essays. I'm kind of on a binge. So I'm watching one on Deus Ex, or like the
Oh,
not the
sure, yeah.
original Deus Ex, but the remake, or the second one that was made.
Yeah,
And just like that idea of like immersive sims, and like how you can do different things to really make the game your own experience.
That game was pretty, that was because when they give you the stealth versus not stealth option, you're like, eh, I've been here before. But then it's like you actually really get into like I don't like how do I use the stealth option? It's pretty cool. So, I just that not many people played Bully, but oh man, it was so like
I played Bully. I probably beat that game like twice, which is a rarity for me.
I am on two or three times too. It's I mean it is there's a lot of horrible behavior in it, and I don't want to condone violence at schools, but like within that world, which I think is one of the producers grew up in, so I'm gonna allow him to tell the story about it. Just like how completely like everything was so realized. Like you'd go to class and you'd get this new perk. You'd go to a soda machine and you'd buy a soda and something would happen to you. You would talk to somebody and that would change something about the state of the world. Like you'd go out into town not wearing pants and the police would chase you. It was just like everything was so built into your experience and respond the world responded to you so well that I just loved that design so much. We've played it a bunch of times and then my wife played through it and that was like watching her do it. I was like, I'm gonna 100% it finally. And so I like took her game, we did it together, but I was like, I'm gonna do all the stupid bike races around town, so I completed all that was like the last thing I needed to get 100%. So I remember good memories of that going back to that. So, all right, I'm way off topic here, but that's all right.
Hey,
All
off topic is on topic. That's my brand. So
right, good enough.
I'm here for it. Okay. Let's do music.
Okay, music. This is so spectacularly.
Well,
I.
for what it's worth, I don't think they're easy questions. I've just
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I just
Because I
like
don't.
I come up with ridiculous stuff and then I like put it on the guests and like here you are.
here's your penalty for being who you are. It's interesting. So I have a weird relationship with music because I had some tragedy in my 20s. So I kind of had to like cut off like all of my, like anything I listened to around that time, which is like the formative time, early 20s for most people, teenage years to tw early 20s is like when you set your style of music. And then I had to kind of like set that all aside and start over. So I didn't listen to music for a while. And then I kind of got back into it in the last 10, 20 years. I'm going to go with, I have to say a Ghost song because I really like Ghost. So at this point, I'm just going to say my favorite things and not worry about connecting it to later. Since it's so hard. Oh my God, what is happening? All right, let's think of it. Everyone help me out here. No one can hear me. Someone's here to save me. I'm gonna
The
look at
internet in general is
it's
gonna
not
say.
gonna it's not gonna save me. So what do I oh I listen to and I think of it's funny because I do like when I play a lot of games I go onto Spotify and I'll listen to related in fact I'm opening my Spotify right now looking at like I listen to Spirit Island soundtrack because I played Spirit Island lately and I played the Grizzled lately and I listened to World War I found a playlist of just World War One music and listened to World War One music. Root has this great it has this great playlist of bardcore music, which is like somebody took a bunch of pop songs and redubbed them, re-recorded them and with a lute and singing, and they're hilarious. Maybe not great, but hilarious. I'll allow. And the crew. There's that public service announcement album about going into space. So we listen to that. All the way down we're playing the crew, but man, something about leader games. And of course, one of my employees is going to listen to this and be like, "What were you thinking?" I'm going to go with okay. Here we go. I got it. I got it. Hold on. I got it. I'm looking this up. I'm going to go with "Feel Good Inc." by Gorillaz. Nailed it.
I think you nailed it.
I think that's it. Because it's a little ironic, but it's a pretty upbeat song. So.
Yeah, and I mean, another connection would be like the way that, like, the art in that, like the art style of
The
the
video,
Gorillaz
yeah.
is like kind of influential as like how you consume that media as well. So.
Okay, so for movie, let's go with Over the Garden Wall for the same reason. That it's that lush artistic style that and
Oh.
it's expressing the it's in a it was made during an era when 3D was very popular and people still did. It's still in the computer, but they did a very 2D presentation of the world, and I love that
Nice.
movie.
I feel like that's been recommended to me before, but I haven't really looked into it, so that'll
I
be.
think the same studio made Song of the Kells also, I believe is the name of the movie, and they're both pretty good. Let me double check that. I think they're on Netflix. Yeah, Song of the Kells.
Neat. Well, like I said, I constantly keep adding things to the list, but not much ever gets knocked off, but I'll just keep adding.
You got it.
Okay, well, I mean, so we kinda I'll knock one off of the mediums thing just so we can kind of get to like the final category before a couple of wrap-up questions. I want to
Sure.
be respectful of your time, and I kinda we doubled back to movie, so I'll count that as like the fourth in that text or
Okay.
that medium. So the final category I'm titling Potluck. I actually am stealing it from a local place where I do trivia at. It's like a local meadery, which is pretty neat. And they do like a very non like commercialized version of trivia. They make it all up. It's kind of funny.
Oh, that's
And
fun.
yeah, I like it. I mean, it just
I wanted to say from a local place that hosts potlucks.
I mean,
As if that was a new concept.
that would be, I don't know. I'd be there for that too. So, but one of their trivia categories is like potluck, and it's just
Oh,
anything,
sure.
I guess.
Anything. All right,
Yeah.
I'm there.
But I want to have it be like pertinent to like you and your company and stories and everything like that. So, kind of like it's just they're not all the same, I guess, is what differentiates this category. But first question in that is, what is a moment at like work or through work? It could be at a convention or some other work event. Let's just say in the past year that you feel exemplifies like the experience of like being at working at Leader Games.
I think the neatest part of being in the studio lately has been it's been a good year. We're making a lot of money this year. It was a little slow last year, and we're doing really, it was just we just worked on ARX for a while. And our printing schedule is such that we landed all of our bills were in 2023 because we paid for a lot of printing in 2023 and we're selling it all now. And so those two combined, it was kind of a weak year. I mean, I say weak because it's just, the tax year is it's a certain amount of time. It's this very specific moment, but it's just that's the cash flow. It just, it's all coming in now. Everything we printed last year is still sellable, so we're making money now. That's all. So for me, the neatest thing about the last couple of years has been, we have a new building. We bought a building 2 summers ago. And in our new building, we have a large central space between all the offices. Most of us have offices. And there's three tables out there from Allplay that Allplay provided us with. And Nick is on the far end, and he was working on Ahoy, Arcs, and now Oath with Cole in the middle. And I've been working on my future out projects since for a while. And it's so cool when all three are like when that moment is that all three are working. Like maybe we're not playing at all three at the same time, but like all the tables are in use like that. I really like the hive of activity and the the kind of world that we've created to allow people to come together and work on this stuff together. That's really what it's all about for me. I mean, it's the sales are cool and the awards are cool, but it's really just the work of making the games that I just love. So, and all the people here, like, we don't have anyone that doesn't play games here. Everybody loves playing games. Here isn't just somebody who's like, well, it's a job. Even like the guy who does our accounting has brought in designs and he's helped me work on my designs in the past year. So it's all we're all hands on deck like that. And I like that it's that we can bring all those things together quite a bit. So you know at the show just anecdotally I just like the like when we started selling ARCs for the first time, Cole and I managed the lines at the so I managed the line outside of the we had a breakout room across the hall from the convention, the main convention hall. And there's people lined up to buy ARCs that first those first 2 days. And I went out and managed the line and I had a lot of fun just kind of working the line like that. And when we were in the hall the first hour at 10 o'clock, Cole and I managed the line as the people went and came in to buy, line up to buy ARCs. And I really liked that moment that I was able to like stop and connect with the people, and in such a mundane way of like, just stand here, please stand over here. Gen Con's gonna yell at us if we don't keep this under control. And so for me, that's like, it's those moments that I like. They get to reconnect with people and see the fun that they're having and see the passion that they have for what we're doing. So, and it's, people thank me and they thank him and they thank us for doing it. And I'm just like, if you guys didn't play these things, if you didn't buy these things, we wouldn't be able to do it. So I got to thank you too. That's really, really remarkable to me that I get to do this thing. And I really like, in some capacity, I've fantasized about this since I was a kid, about running this company, and here I am doing it, and I just, that's just awesome to me.
That's super special. Like, yeah, I both of the ways that in which you're like everybody, works together and in the way that you just like function as leader games, but then also like being able to connect with that audience as well. I love
Yeah.
that.
Kyle just posted some art for Oath, and it's awesome marking here too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Okay, so question two here. If you were to have to start Leader Games today in 2024, what do you feel would be different now compared to 10 years ago?
Well, that's a good, I like this. Dangerous question. Because sometimes I do have this urge to like take the skills I've learned and to apply them to other things. Like I would love to have made, I like the games we make a lot. And in fact, the last interview I did, we speculated for a while if I could just cut my board game collection down to, without pride or without boasting, but like, could I just play leader games for the rest of my life? And then, like, I think I could get down to that many. Like, I could probably get down to like 15 games. It'd be like our collection and then the other games, like, I'd want Heat and I'd want Spirit Island and I'd want, like, there's Codenames, like, especially Codenames Duet. I still would want a few other games, but I definitely could just be like, no, I'm just going to play Root. Like, that's okay with me. And I used to, before I got into running a company, I used to be very much like, okay, I'm going to buy, like there was a time when we, right after we got Power Grid, where we just played Power Grid for a while. And there, of course, there's a lot less games coming out, so it was a lot easier to do that sort of thing. And I kind of miss that era of like, no, I'm going to, like, my wife and I, when we met, we played Race for the Galaxy a lot, like hundreds of times. And so I kind of miss that era of just being able to like drill into one thing. So I do like, I think like I would love to have set up the company in a way that there is this, and I like what I'm doing, so nothing can change and I'm still happy. But like if I could have this, I would love to have the sort of like imprint or division where I can just make things of like a weight of like love letter or ticket to ride or just the kind of like very clean, elegant, not Euro in like the like resource conversion Uwe way, which is I also play and that's fine. I just don't want to make those. But like to see how like to have that like kind of simple like kind of just a much cleaner design, not cleaner, but like you know, Ticket to Ride is about a minute of explanation, and I can play that game pretty. I can explain that game pretty quickly. Love Letter, I don't think is more than a 5 minute teach, and I kind of, you know, I do kind of like want that sometimes. And I designed a few RPGs back a long time ago, and I don't have any desire to write 100,000 page or 100,000 page. Nobody should want a 100,000 page RPG. I wonder if you added up all the pages from like D&D 5th edition, if it even come close to 100,000. Certainly first, but not fifth. So no, not even first. That's a lot of pages. But 100,000 word book. You know, I have no desire to write that RPG. But if I could make my RPGs some other way, then maybe I would do that. So, and I still really like video games. And I thought I was going to do video games when I was a kid. And so maybe that's like, you know, maybe there is some like urge to like make video games in there, or at least build the team that can make video games in there. So I would like to do that. So just having a way to keep that all open to myself would be fun. But they're all very different skills to make, and even within the two board game options. Those are very different skills on how to market and how to make games. So I just don't think it's possible in the same house.
All right. Well, if you need to, you can just make the offshoot. You'll call it lead games.
Lead games, and then lead games was what people call it.
That's funny. Okay, so hopefully the next couple are kind of linked to like the same thing. So you kind of mentioned it, like you like everybody at Leader Games, they like playing. I follow a lot of the people that like social media wise at Leader Games, and it seems like you like doing stuff together, like playing games together, and it's sometimes might not be, it might be like after work and you're playing something else, or I don't know if that's like the right impression or if it's just like people working at your company playing different games in other contexts. But this is what has been like a game that like kicked around the office, whether that you've like played together or just like all familiar with, that is the most divisive.
Oh, I thought you were going to say most popular, and
Oh,
I was.
that's the follow-up. So yeah, universally loved. You're on to my second one, but this is divisive. It could be one that you like too, or one that you don't. I don't know.
That's interesting.
And it doesn't have to be a board game. It could be a video game too, I guess.
What have we all played in the office that we've fought about? Oh, that's really interesting. I do like so for loving, we played Blood on the Clock Tower at Gen Con. We've played that a few times at Gen Con after hours. And it's I'm sad for the success of the company because this year we had no time to do anything after hours because that door opens at 9 a.m. on the small room, which means you have to be there by 8 to like get ready. And then like because we had a party in the room after hours, you know, like we'd get home at 10 p.m., 11 p.m. most nights, and by that time I was like, "Man, I'm old. I'm gonna go to bed. Like I can't play another hour and a half game." But boy, did we got our mileage out of Blood on the Clock Tower. What have we fought about in office though? That's interesting. 'Cause I think within the creative team, we're all like cool enough to be like, even if we don't like a game, I can still look at it and go, what's the lesson from this? And so I like it because of that. It's funny because people will ask me to like, people like whenever I like post about a game on Twitter, people are like, what do you think of it? And I'm like, well, I'm not going to talk about what I think about like, as a designer. I'm not going to talk about what I think about another designer's work publicly. Like, I'd be a reviewer then, and I should be doing something else. And so, like, I have to be really careful about that. Gosh, I cannot think of anything. I should almost post this to the team Slack and see if anyone came up with anything. I mean, there's certainly games that like I like Small World, and I think a lot of people on the staff don't like Small World. Like, so there's moments like that, but that's not born out of some like artistic like differences. It's just preference, you know. Like, it's just somebody had a good time playing it the first few times, and they didn't have a good time playing it the first few times, I think. So, yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know. I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to say I don't know for divisive.
Oh,
Blood Clock Tower is popular, though. I'll say for your follow up then, and your inevitable follow up. I think Heat did pretty well here. I think a lot of people like Heat here. We had a league going over the summer, but that fell apart. And then we've also all been playing this. League of Geeks made a remake of this game called Psyllium Infernum on Steam. And League of Geeks, unfortunately, went what they how do they describe it? They went into hibernation, which, you know, they shut the studio down. So they won't be making updates for it anymore, which is too bad. And it's very much like a board game, but it's the players are fighting for control of hell. Satan's gone missing, and so the players are all the archdukes that are trying to fill up that vacuum of power. And it is very like it is built around async play, and so it's like you with for better or worse, there's a lot of like very clever allowances, and since like intelligence gathering is very important because they can hide information from you very well, so that works really well. But then there's also like, you know, if you want to do a diplomatic offer, it takes 3 turns to resolve because, like, you gotta send the offer, wait for it to come back, then decide on the consequences of it. And they try to like trim things down as much as they can, but it's kind of slow. So, but we've been playing that in Office.
Nice. Yeah, I when I asked about like divisive, I'm not trying to get like the spice. The only reason that one like even popped up was I've seen you post about Balatro, and I even
Yeah.
saw like Liz recently did. But I on air I listened to Dan Thoreau's podcast with Cole, and he wasn't the biggest fan of Balatro. So that's the only reason I.
I know he doesn't like it. Did he say he played it or not during dance? I mean, he had to have if he didn't like it.
I
He
think
must have.
he mentioned that he played it and didn't like it. That's my memory. This is
Interesting.
a while
Yeah.
ago now.
And even Liz said, I've gotten to the point where I realize I'm just going to have to play a lot to get to the RNG, to get to the, like, you know, the big moments in that game. And so it's like I've played it enough, I get the, I've gotten the lesson, and I can move on. So I have slowed down a little bit on it because I was trying to get completionist, and the black deck is just driving me crazy. So.
I just had to stop because there's other games that I wanted to play. So
Yeah.
that's kind of where I was at.
Yeah. That's fair.
Okay, we are into like the wrap up stuff. I've made you come up with like a million different like texts,
I should
but
get to ask you a hard question.
yeah, I'll allow it.
I don't have any, so go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, hopefully this isn't like hard. So
No,
again,
I'm fine.
I've made you come up with like a million different like names and different like scenarios of like movie shows, games, etc. But what's and you could even like reuse something that you have brought up, but what's something that has been stuck on your mind? It could be like something that you are reading or watching or just playing in any capacity. What's a text that's really been on your brain?
Oh, interesting. So that would be spoilers, so I can't talk about that. I just finished the Umbrella Academy, and I like I'm desperate to talk about the ending of Umbrella Academy because I think it's a good, I think it was a good like deconstruction of itself, in the best way, and kind of the whole superhero myth, in the best way. But we can't talk about that because I'd be spoiling it. So,
This is
meh.
This is season. I mean, you could just say that's what's been on your mind. That would be the answer.
Yeah,
You don't
Umbrella
have to like.
Academy has been on, has been on as much. Yeah, the season 4 just wrapped up, and that's been on my mind a lot. Been thinking about that. I've been thinking about so Opus is about AI, and it's about robots, and so it hits the usual like it hits the really easy like beats of like what is it to be human and what is it to be. Like, and I'm trying to kind of steer around that, like not be too deliberate about that, because I want it to be more about what does it mean to be a robot. Like to think about what to think about the robots as like kind of like we're trying to be human like in the beginning of the experiment, but also like what if we're able to make ourselves our own species? Or what, like what like and what is humanity's role in that, and how do we impart on the robots, like this is the we're not trying to make you in our image, like the robots in our image. We're trying to make like what if we are just trying to make a new species, and what values do we impart on them as they move forward with their own lives? Whether humanity is in that, like Terminator style, like humanity is not with the robots anymore, or if it's, like Detroit Being Human, where it's like, if it, like there, if there does have to be some question of coexistence. I didn't actually finish the game, so nobody told me what the end's about. I love that game because the one character that escapes to go live with the other robots, they have no culture because they have, and I think that's like such an astute assessment of that situation, is that like the robot, like culture comes from like we have to eat, so how do we get food, and then how do we express, how do we ritualize getting food so that we know a consistent way to get food, like we sit down to dinner together, but a robot doesn't have to eat dinner, right? So there's no, all the components that tie into eating, going to the store, having stores, transporting things, those aren't necessary for a robot. And so like, and that's like, and we don't have to like impress other people. So there's no, just the ba most basic level of artistic expression of singing or dancing or painting, like they don't have any concept of that because they don't feel any need to talk to each other or express themselves. So it's just, it's, they all just like, they're just kind of, ex it, they kind of look like refugees. They're all just kind of sitting around a room together, not talking or doing anything because they don't have any reason to do anything. So I've been thinking about that a lot lately. How to make these robots feel like compelling as characters to play in a board game. So is that answering your question?
I answers it and then some. You have
Okay.
you've got me thinking too. I'm just sitting over here like, yeah. Oh, no,
So.
I like that quite a bit. And honestly, that leads into the final question in general. But not that long ago, there was another recent, Kickstarter for Oath.
Yeah.
According to your site, there's more Ahoy in 2025, and then you're talking about your project a bit there, what you've been thinking about. Is there anything else that you want to point the listener to from Leader Games?
Yeah, well, real like in the immediate future, let me get the dates because they were just published to me. So we are we're doing a Root expansion soon. So this fall will be in October. There'll be a Kickstarter for Root expansion. We have the sign up page for that going. I can talk about these things. And embargo is a weird concept to me because I would just talk about everything. 5 years ago, I just talk about everything we're doing whenever I wanted to. So that's going on. On the 17th, there's going to be a studio stream with Josh and Cole, where they'll be talking about the details of the contents of the expansion. So to me, that is the most important thing we're working on. And we're all not, I mean, not, like coming up. I mean, but we already talked about Oath, which is going very well, and we're working on that right now, and that's important too. But I'm very excited about this announcement coming up. For me personally, I've been designing for the last 3 years, and it's I'm in a hard space to design right now because I have to run the company, and it has become easier and easier to run. It's becoming more and more hands off, but I still have a lot of decisions eating up my design space or my design brain. And so it's been, I have not accomplished a lot lately in the design realm. So I don't really have anything to talk about yet. I am working towards getting something done for next spring. I don't know if it's going to be Opus, but it's been that's been on the forefront. My problem with Opus right now about finishing it is that it is a game about virtue and growth, and I don't know if that's interesting enough of a topic for I think co-op games need to be about survival or survival. It's really the theme that you can have, and there's definitely survival for the robots because they have to become a product before their project is canceled. But I don't know if that's going to be compelling enough of a story for people to want to get into. So I'm still working. I'm still trying to figure out, find that way. Like, and I know I can just focus on the survival part of it, but to me, that's not the story I want to tell. I do want it to be about this growth to a new culture. And so I don't know how I'm gonna like get that onto the page. So, but we'll see. But no, really, it's the go look on Kickstarter for the announcement and sign up for seeing the Root expansion.
Very cool. Well, I'll make sure that I link that as a
Yeah, I can send it.
just in case for anybody listening.
That's, yeah.
But
Somehow you missed that there's a Root expansion
yeah.
coming up.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I am extremely appreciative of your time, and I had a wonderful time talking to you. So thank you so much for
Thank you.
being a part of my nonsense.
Yeah, no problem at all. That was a lot of fun.
All right, thank you.
Right.
Intertextual Cardboard Experience, the most asymmetrical podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for choosing to spend your time here. Any further support, such as sharing the show with friends, following the page's socials in the episode description, writing a review, filling out the feedback form, or doing anything else you can think of is greatly appreciated. Keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing.